there were a few physios there and they were analyzing somebody on a treadmill. And I don't know, I looked at them and I saw what they were doing and I just thought, that's what I want to do. I worked in the UK as a physio and then in Germany as a physio, and they were all great experiences. Physio is someone who can assess, diagnose and treat a person who has pain, tightness or injury in their body. You would just, from the minute somebody walks in the room, you see the level of pain. Already been through a few years of pain, you've got to really gain their trust and you've got to be their inspiration. Definitely your day will include lots of note taking because it becomes a legal document. A lot of people on a higher income earlier if they perform. Position in hospital was about $190,000.
Hey there, just a quick shout out to all the listeners of Inside the Real Job. Firstly, a huge thank you for tuning in. If you haven't already, hit the follow button to help us reach more ears and bring in amazing guests to share their journeys. And if any of you or someone you know is eager to talk about their profession or promote their industry, shoot me an email. You can find my contact details in the episode description. All right, let's get on with it. Enjoy this episode. Liam, what's your definition of being a physiotherapist, also known as a physio?
A physio is someone who can assess, diagnose, and treat a person who has pain, tightness, or injury in their body. We do this with hands-on treatments, exercise prescription, and education.
Right. And when you say pain, what do you mean in terms of that?
It can be pain from the musculoskeletal system, which includes anything from fractures, bones, muscles, tendons, ligaments, or nerves.
So full range.
Full range.
So therefore, it sounds like you would have to learn a lot about the body.
Absolutely.
So can you tell us the different ways to become a physio then?
Definitely need a university degree. The standard is a 4-year degree. But if you do an alternative degree, so complete, for example, like I did, a Bachelor of Medical Science, then you can do a 2-year Master of Physiotherapy as a postgrad.
And the master's are definite, right? You have to do that to be licensed?
Yes. And if you don't want to go to uni or you're not ready to go to uni yet, there is a role called a physiotherapy assistant, and you will need to research this a little bit more, but it is a TAFE course, and then that allows you to work alongside a physio. So in whichever setting you choose, you can work alongside a physio under the guidance of a physio, but still working with your patients and learning.
And over time, you probably get credits for the hours and be able to move into a uni degree.
I would have to say it gives you that opportunity. Yeah.
And Liam, with a degree, can you give us a visual what that looks like in terms of what do you do first couple of years versus in your master's?
It may be a little bit different now because I know a lot of uni lecturers now record their things and you can do a lot of the theory at home. But for me, it was definitely sitting in a lot of theory lectures. We had to learn everything about the body, but also cadavers. We had to go into, you know, actually seeing dead bodies and going in and just seeing where all the muscles attach and seeing the tendons and being able to name all that sort of thing. So a lot of learning that way. And then depending on your degree, the course that I chose to do, which ended up being at the University of Queensland, and I went there for this in particular, was that their whole last year was practical. I wanted a whole year of being able to work and experience everything that I needed to experience. Other degrees, they will break it up. So within the year, you'll do some practical and some theory. But you definitely have to get out and into the hospitals or into the community and do hands-on and marked on your hands-on skills as well.
Yeah, right.
And so each year you have to pass your exams to move on to the next year. And when you pass the final exams, then it's a matter of registering with APRA, the Australian Health Practitioner Regulation Agency. All health practitioners fall under this banner and they make sure that everybody is following the rules and they're the body that actually gives you your registration every year.
So do they do any monitoring throughout the year? Do you have to keep any accreditation or skills up every year to keep your license?
Yes.
So, and is it a license?
I call it registration.
Okay.
So yes, once a year you need to pay for your registration. So I think it's anywhere between $150 and $200 for the registration. And you aren't monitored throughout the year, but then before you register, they ask you questions about your year. So you have to be insured. You have to have done a minimum of 20 hours of education. They want to know that you you're actually working in the industry for a minimum of 15 hours a week. They don't want people taking big breaks from the profession and then coming back without the same skills. And there's a few other things, you know, making sure that no one's made any complaints against you, you don't have any outstanding things, etc.
Makes sense. And you mentioned the 20 hours of learning. Mm-hmm. Is that just theory?
So the CPD stands for Continued Professional Development. And there's some courses that say, do our course and it contributes to this many points. It can be practical. It can be within your own physiotherapy practice. So that's something most private practices will do in services. So whether it's weekly or fortnightly, you will get together as a team and someone will present something to the whole team and that becomes part of your CPD. Or they might call in somebody external and pay them to present something to you as a group.
Excellent. And what is a typical day of a physio?
So most of my experience has been in the private practice setting. That involves back to back, meaning one after the other, normally half hour sessions where someone will come in, either a new patient or a follow-up patient, and you need to diagnose, assess, and give advice. Or if it's a return client, you need to assess, treat, and reassess, making sure that you've always got an improvement. Normally, in the private practice setting, most clinics now also do some form of exercise. Some have a full gym setting,
right,
or most have now moved towards a clinical Pilates setting. So that can involve teaching mat classes, teaching small groups, or using full Pilates equipment. Definitely your day will include note-taking and lots of note-taking because it becomes a legal document. Some people like to treat and then complete notes and then treat and complete notes, but most of the time, if you're quite rushed, you'll find you're doing a lot at the end of the day. It'll include everything that you've done with a patient, any doctor's letters, referrals, making calls, things like that.
So if you have a routine day, you always leave like an hour free to catch up on your notes and phone calls?
Yeah, that's probably fair. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and can you break down that whole diagnose and treatment? Like, what's involved? Are you getting them to do exercises depending on what the injury is, and is that how you assess people?
Definitely. So let's just say some lower back pain. Get to see a lot of people with low back pain if you're in the community private practice. You would just, from the minute somebody walks in the room, you're seeing how they move, if you can actually see the level of pain, and then you'll sit down with them and discuss when the pain started, how long it's been there for, and just all the background and necessary information there. And then with the lower back, you go through a whole range of movement sequence. There's different things you need to do depending on if there's neural symptoms, nerve symptoms, and depending on what movement they have or where the pain's being produced, you can then decide whether the pain's coming from muscles, whether it's coming from the joints in the lower back, and then you can begin your treatment from there. And something that I don't think a lot of people realize is that physios work on the spine. They actually work on the joints. Mm-hmm. So we call it mobilization of the spine. And some physios are also trained to manipulate the spine. You will do a treatment. So it could be muscle releases, it could be joint releases, and it could be neural mobilizations, then you reassess the client. So at minimum, you want them to walk out with more range of movement or teach them exercises to stabilize and always give them education about their condition. So they're always walking away with something to do before they see you again.
Oh, that's interesting. So you explain what a typical day looks like. Is it quite physical on your body?
Yes. You are definitely on your feet for most of the day. Like, there's a physical demand, but also the mental demand. Depending on what type of physio you're in will depend on how much you actually put your hands on clients and how much you work with them. Or it might be that you're doing more exercise or education, but either way, it's still demanding.
Quite physical. Mm. So to be a physio, you probably have to be quite health conscious yourself.
Definitely. And I just remembered something that is just so funny. But I thought that if I didn't get into physio, I would become a teacher. And I remember I had hurt my knee and somebody said to me, oh, you can't be a PE teacher because you need to be super fit. Your knee probably won't handle it. And then so I just put all my energy into physio and I didn't even apply to be a PE teacher. And then I was just laughing later because I thought no one told me how physical physio would be.
Right, there you go.
My knee's fine, by the way.
Oh, excellent. Good to hear. And talking about stories, What are the things that you've really enjoyed being a physio?
It's definitely making a difference in people's lives. And the more experience that I add, or the more experience you get, the more you can impact people's lives. You just do it with so much confidence. Somebody walks through the door and I know that I can help them. I know they're going to walk out and that I've impacted their life. So it's an incredible feeling.
Yeah, for sure. And what about something that's not so enjoyable? Apart from maybe being on your feet all the time, is there anything else that you feel that people probably should consider or think about before aspiring to be a physio?
If you're doing full-time role in a private practice, then you're probably seeing about 75 patients a week minimum. It can be really physically and mentally demanding. So you just need to look after yourself. And for most health professionals across the board, they don't do that until it's too late. So that's just something to keep in mind. And it might be that you want to break up the hands-on and make sure that when you're doing the job, that it's not all one-on-one, so that you do get that little bit of a break. The admin and the legal aspect, we already mentioned that. I've never been impacted by it, but I know others who have been, because you just need to be really careful and really on the ball, staying very professional, but also forming relationships with people and getting them to trust you and getting them to, you know, work as a team with them to get them well. And then I guess the other thing is that a lot of people listening will want to become a physio just to work with high level sports teams.
Right.
And the reality is there's so many different types of physio, and that's a very, very small part of physio, and you know, there's small opportunity to work with the elites. So it's important to make yourself known very, very early if that's where you want to move into. If you want to move into basketball team, then go start now. You got to get to know your local teams, start volunteering, find out the physios that work with those teams now and maybe volunteer with them, or go offer reception work on a Saturday or something. Like, start now so that you are seen and known, and so that by the time you finish your degree, you've already got some connections and you can go into it.
That's a really good tip. And you mentioned a couple of times just the different variety of physiotherapists there are, and you just mentioned the one that people like, which is getting into sports.
Yeah.
What other specialties can you move into?
There's the musculoskeletal physio, which is what I describe as in private practice and what I do mostly. But there's neurological, there's pediatrics, so working with children, there's geriatric, there's cardiovascular and respiratory, and you can also add to the list women's health. There's hydrotherapy, there's clinical Pilates, there's physios who just run clinical Pilates clinics, there's animal physiotherapy, and there's physios who now do lots of dry needling or acupuncture.
Right.
So there's so many areas, and most of those that I mentioned are in the hospital. But having that hospital experience and then coming out into private practice, it's amazing. If you are just a general private practice in your community, you need some of those skills so much anyway, because you just don't know who's going to walk through your door or what with.
Great.
And the other thing is that as a physio, you might find yourself working in many different areas. So within the hospital, there's many different wards that you could work on, from ICU to where the hip and knees are being replaced, or chest wards. But you might also find yourself in the community, actually going to people's homes where you can treat children or adults. There's the gym setting, there's sports field, and there's private medical practices, which we spoke about already. But you need to know and understand that there's lots of environments, and so that you can choose the one that you would like to be in.
Yeah, great. That's good advice. And can you specialize into something different throughout your career?
That's one of the benefits or bonuses of physiotherapy, is you can go into general physiotherapy, then specialize in an area, and then you can change. So I've worked with the majority musculoskeletal patients. I've been with the elite athletes, and I've done the hospital setting for a short time. So you can just move around.
So a lot of opportunities.
A lot of opportunities.
So you could even just start as in general,
yep,
as a physio, and then get a few years of experience, and then over time you can actually specialize in multiple other things.
Absolutely. And that's a good idea as well, because unless you've tried out different things, sometimes you won't actually know if you enjoy doing them.
Yeah, that's very true. Yes. What about salary? If I was a brand new physio, just finished, got first full-time job as a physio, what's the range I would be potentially looking at?
So I did look this up to make sure I had the right thing. So if we're talking Australian dollars, you're actually on about $70,000 a year in the hospital setting, and it's probably very similar in the private practice setting for the first year. And then every year that will increase, And I was actually surprised to see that the maximum in hospital, but this is very, very high up, like the highest position in hospital, was about $190,000 a year.
Wow. So it just comes down to time, experience, and skill set.
Yes. And then in the private practice, you've got more range. A lot of people on a higher income earlier if they perform.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hope you enjoyed that episode with Leanne. The importance of genuine interest in the medical field, particularly in the movement of body, was definitely a key standout for me. Curiosity and the desire to help individuals find relief from pain was also highlighted as essential qualities for becoming a successful physiotherapist. Additionally, various opportunities exist, ranging from working in hospital settings to private practices with the potential to specialize over time. The job itself is definitely rewarding. It requires dedication to build up your knowledge, skills, experience to excel in this field. Check out the next episode where Leanne shares her personal journey of how she became a physio, the challenges that she faced, and also what the future of the physiotherapist industry will look like. In the meantime, make today a good news day.